Part 3. The Hand That Feeds.
Chapter 20. Aslan. Hey, swap you my briefs? David Connor dropped down into the next seat, grinning from ear to ear.
Now I'm taking it that's not a serious offer.
Karim John Aslan made room for him at the booth, locking the screen of his tablet.
Hell no. I've already been headhunted 3 times, and we're not even on day one of the case.
Connor was immaculate. Sculpted hair that gleamed almost blue-black, flawless olive skin, a single gold stud earring. He wore the latest model smart glasses. His suit cost more than Aslan wanted to think about, and he wore it roguishly open-collared, as though any moment he would be called out to a fashion shoot.
You're not even going in front of the cameras, Aslan pointed out.
Doesn't matter, man. Besides, the big cameras, no, but the boss says maybe interviews later. Interviews, chat shows, endorsements. People are interested in this thing, KJ. The ICC's never had this level of take-up since Nuremberg, and that's because of your case as much as mine.
Hold on. Endorsements?
Aslan couldn't tell if he was being serious.
You mean like the International Criminal Court always drinks Pepsi-Cola?
Connor fished a drone cam out of his pocket and sent it up with a blink at his smart glasses, beaming up into its little camera with perfect pearly teeth.
Am I not telegenic, KJ? Am I not right on the brink of becoming the world's media darling?
No,
Aslan told him sourly.
Nobody knows who you are, and the press is full of pictures of that old goat Arnak because he's lead prosecutor.
Arnak said he'd cut me in on it. Get me a few photo calls.
Connor examined flawless nails.
Arnak says a lot of things.
You're just sore you're not in the team.
Feeling a personal lack of diplomacy, Connor spread his hands. Which was a bad call, by the way. You paid your dues on the Caliphate's prosecution.
I am still paying my dues over that.
Oi, still?
Aslan nodded grimly.
Last week the cameras caught some guy by my car, and the whole car park was a no-go for 6 hours. You don't remember that?
I remember the fuss. I didn't know that was you.
Connor shook his head.
Still, shows you did good. They should have called you in for the Compesh team.
David, they had me front and center on the Caliphates because they thought a good Muslim boy would catch less flack, which says a lot about how badly our employers understand everything, probably, which is kind of worrying.
Connor was obviously about to come out with some assurance about how it had all been his legal smarts and not his prayer habits, but Aslan waved it away.
You've got the spotlight now, David. You milk it for all it's worth.
2 espressos turned up then, and the pair of them stayed quiet until the waiter had gone. The bar wasn't somewhere they'd be discussing anything confidential, but there was always the risk of an inadvertent slip that might end up in the press and kill off a promising legal career.
The small fries seem to have gone well, anyway. All the only-obeying-orders crowd. Thanks, I might say, to my immaculate case prep. Arnak can make a good speech, but he wouldn't know what year it was if I didn't email it to him daily,
Connor drawled.
So, Murray's next?
Connor grinned.
The old master of hounds himself, slippery bastard that he is.
It's not going further?
Red Mark's board have had a fairly savage round of resignations, Connor noted, and I know a bunch of corporations have directors up before the House back in the States. But the trail runs cold, KJ. If there's evidence to link the chem attacks to somebody on the board, it's buried deeper than we've been able to dig. So, we've got Murray, who was basically right there on the ground making the decisions, using Red Mark assets to run his own private war. The way they tell it, he was a 21st century Kurtz from that, what was it?
They chimed in together, Connor with the film, Aslan with the book. Connor grinned again, but this time Aslan saw the nerves there.
We need Murray, KJ. It's not even a matter of justice, although God knows justice would be a fine thing to have a little of. We say Murray gave the orders to chemobomb wherever he thought the anarchists were getting their support from. And he had a pretty low threshold of proof, believe me. Murray's orders set the dogs on people. Murray wiped out whole villages to cover his tracks at the end. At the end, you hear them say it. He was nobody's man but his own.
You're going to play the dog pack angle, aren't you?
Aslan asked morosely.
For all it's worth.
You're making my life more difficult. You know that?
Then you're on the wrong side, Connor pointed out.
Am I?
You know they only gave you the case because of your name, right?
And the grin was restored to its mocking perfection.
Hilarious, Aslan scowled. They actually have some Aslans, you know? It's what they called one of the experimental cat models under the Multiform Initiative. Never saw action, though. Unreliable. Even chipped to the eyeballs, you can't get cats to do what you want them to. Cats? I've got. Got a few bear models, some freakish-looking lizards, some hive-mind critters you don't even want to think about. There's a naval base on Malta that has some dolphin forms in the pen, even, but it's mostly the dogs.
Murray's dogs.
Murray had more than dogs, Aslan reminded him. And there are more dogs than just Murray's. 1,700 canine bioforms and military service around the world so far. All locked in their barracks, and another 1,300 or so impounded out of private hands, pending judicial decision.
And you get to write up the defense. Who did you piss off to get that mess handed to you?
I asked for it. I asked to be on the team.
Aslan stared angrily at his coffee.
What the hell, man?
Connor was genuinely surprised.
You're that desperate to kill your career? Just sleep with Arnak's wife or something.
They want to declare the bioforms weapons, Aslan stated. They want to decommission them, just like they were nukes or guns.
They are weapons.
Never mind.
Aslan massaged his forehead.
You just go get Murray. Leave my job to me.
You want to see the facilities first, sir, or just your client?
Aslan didn't miss the calculated pause there. The staff here obviously didn't think much of his brief. The cells themselves were sunk into the ground, a subterranean complex open at the top so that the dogs could run around their tiny yard with a little square of sky above. Around the buried cells there was a wall, and the wall was topped with wire. All the guards were armed, and although wardens with guns wasn't a novel experience, these rifles could hold their own against last century's big game hunters for caliber. Beside the cells, beyond the wall, there were the offices where the international bureaucracy that made this place possible was perpetrated. Aslan had driven out there in his little electric car and parked it up alongside the various makes and models driven by the guards and administrators. On the way over, his mind had been full of righteous rhetoric. Now, with the sounds from the pit a constant backdrop, he felt decidedly less sure of himself. There were dog sounds, mostly. A very large number of big and angry dogs, except mixed into the animals' snarling and barking, were recognizable words. Pleas, expletives, insults, threats. It was his first taste of the reality behind the ideal he had offered to defend. It frightened him a great deal.
Let me see the...
The what?
Let me see him.
They led him inside, into the soundproofed normality of office space. Cubicles and kitchenettes, terminals and copiers and water coolers. Busy clerks filed their reports and entered data. Nobody looked up at the slender young lawyer from the ICC. His guide held a door open for him, and Aslan stepped through and came face to face with the dog. He swore and jumped back, and heard the laughter, knowing he was being hazed. His eyes never left the face of the creature in the room. The place was set up like a prisoner's visiting room, and he couldn't work out whether that was someone's poor taste joke or simply a lack of imagination. There was a transparent plastic screen between them, thick enough that looking through it was like looking through water. Even then, Aslan didn't think it would be enough if the thing ran amok. It was sitting like a man, but its vast, muscular frame practically filled that half of the room, hunched over with its head thrust forwards. It had cuffs on that looked like they were designed for King Kong, for which he was powerfully grateful. Its jaws were immense, upper and lower canines projecting slightly past its thick lips. One of its ears was mostly gone, just ragged scar tissue left. Its stare. Its stare, like the way it sat, was human. For all the eyes were dog, round and brown, Aslan met its gaze and found something manlike looking out at him, trapped in that vast prison of engineered flesh.
"Sir, you don't look them in the eye. That's a challenge," the man at his elbow was saying, but Aslan couldn't look away.
Carefully, he stepped into the room and lowered himself into the chair, bringing his tablet out. He made his every movement slow and telegraphed at first, worried that the creature opposite was a coiled spring that would go off at the first sudden move. He'd seen this one's records, after all. Those that had survived the mysterious data purges at Red Mark's end, anyway. There were a lot of dangerous dogs in the cage over there, but this one was something special.
"So, hello there," he tried, though the force of that leaden stare was starting to wilt him. "You're Rufus, is that right?" He was speaking as though the creature was a child, or a dog, perhaps. He was speaking as though he didn't expect it to understand him. The dog made a rumbling noise deep in its chest.
"Rex,"
it said. Aslan froze.
"Did you?" he wanted to ask. "Did you speak?" As though he could blot out the fact of it. The voice had been deep enough to vibrate the plastic between them.
He got a grip on himself.
"Did you say, are you not Rufus?"
Again, that single utterance.
"Rex."
Aslan swore and rooted through his files. "The idiots have brought me the wrong one. You fought in Compesh? I thought you were the leader of Murray's multiform team."
"Yes."
He looked up again, finding the creature with its nose almost pressed to the screen.
"I was leader."
It spoke carefully, stressing the word strangely.
"My squad was honey, dragon, and bees, but I was leader."
Back to the notes. Murray only had the one multiform pack, and the names of the rest checked out. Some clerk had mixed up the records, Aslan guessed. After all, nobody would have thought it was very important.
"Well then, hi, Rex. My name's Karam. Karam John Aslan. I work for the International Criminal Court."
Looking into that brutal, bestial face, his heart sank. Because how could this thing ever be seen as anything other than a threat? "They're going to exterminate them," Aslan knew then. "From concentration camps to gas chambers. And the courts that were made to punish genocide are going to be making it happen."